This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So the weather's something, huh? Friday afternoon, just about dusk, we went over to the ocean to watch the waves, and I actually had to put on a jacket. It was great. And then this morning, it was a little cooler, it felt. This week, it's going to be in the 70s, and pretty soon, it's even going to be a little cooler than that. So it's beautiful. Last week, I bought this coat at a yard sale, $4. It's hand-stitched, and it's from Maine, and I just love it. My sister, however, thinks it's a little frumpy, but I just love it. I haven't worn it yet, but I really had to have it. I'll tell you why I brought it, other than just saying I love it, in a few minutes, and why it relates directly to this cloak that Bartimaeus wore in our story. I don't know about you, but I learn best when I can see the global to the particular, when I can see the big picture and then figure out how it relates to me and what I am supposed to do about it. It's just like when we're watching the storm, when we're watching Hurricane Sandy and we're watching the path and where it came from and where it's going. We see that big picture, and then by nature, we zoom in on our particular location first, and then to the particular location that may affect our loved ones. It's from the big picture to the smaller, to the particular with our involvement. We can do the same thing with the Gospel of Mark. Mark, as you may know, is divided into two sections. The first half has to do with the ministries of Jesus in Galilee, from the time of his baptism at the River Jordan, throughout all of his travels in Galilee and a little beyond, with his teachings and miraculous healings, where he served and ministered to not only the Jews, but the Gentiles as well, which was radical enough. The second half of the gospel is all about his time in Jerusalem, the passion, his death and resurrection. And today, in today's gospel, it's the last story that we'll be reading in the first half. So we're finishing up the first half, and we're on the road to Jerusalem with Jesus. Jesus's fame had spread. He tried to live a life incognito, but it was just impossible by this time. He had become too famous. People from all over Galilee and beyond, all over from Judea, had come and were following him. And his close circle of friends, those who had been with him from the beginning, had a hard time understanding his teachings. Sometimes we heard that they got it. Sometimes we heard that they didn't. We've been listening to stories in this first half of Mark since last fall. And we'll be listening to the rest of Mark until we come to the end of November. And so we've been hearing over and over again these teachings of Jesus that if we really want to know and understand the mystery of God, we are to come with the love, the adoration, the devotion of a little child. That was one of the main lessons. And then he's been telling us that we have to be willing to dedicate our whole lives. Remember what he told the rich young man? Give it all away for me. Dedicate everything in your life to me. And then over and over again, one of the hardest lessons that we've been hearing is that if you want to be great, you have to be a servant. If you want to be first, you have to be last. And this he said to them over and over because they just didn't seem to get it. The teachings of Jesus, not only in the first half of this gospel, but throughout the gospel, peak in the question, who do you say that I am? And our answer is crucial for how we live our lives. And now, finally, we meet someone who got it. Blind Bartimaeus, this outcast from society. The only way he knew to survive was to beg, sitting at the side of the road. He is the last. He is the last one that you would ever expect being chosen as an example. He's the one shunned, left out, and ridiculed. And his very name, ironically, means Bartimaeus, means son of honor. So it's ironic, and yet so poignant. So come with me, if you will, and imagine that we are walking with Jesus, that we're one of this huge crowd, and we're walking from Jericho. We've just left the city, and we're on our way to Jerusalem. And outside, we've only got 18 more miles to go. So we're getting excited. We don't know what's going to happen. We know they're going to be welcoming him because everybody's heard of him. And so we're following, and we're wondering. And just outside of town, we know, too, that it's prime begging territory. The beggars would wait outside of the big city, and they still do today, as these travelers would be coming by. They knew that they would be restocked, full of provisions. They would probably have extra money, and they would be much more willing to share. So they would set up their blankets there, and probably Bartimaeus had spread his cloak out, so that when people would give him the money, he would have something to collect it in. And so we see blind Bartimaeus there, wrapped in his cloak. May have been a blanket. It may have been a jacket that looked similar to that, though not as beautiful. Raggedy, for sure. It's the coat which keeps him warm in the cold. It's what shields him from the sun in the summertime. And somehow, he knew about this Jesus Christ. He had heard that he was the Messiah, and he believed it. It was his hope. It was his hope, his salvation. And because he believed in Jesus Christ so much, he cried out to him. And when we hear the people around him telling him to be quiet, can you imagine how that felt? Has anyone ever told you to be quiet? It doesn't feel very good. And they told him to be quiet. Who do you think you are? Jesus isn't going to be listening to you. But undeterred, Bartimaeus cried out again, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And this man who looked up, this bum that we would call today, if we were being derogatory, caused Jesus to stop in his tracks. And so all of us stop with him. The text says he stood still, and he said, "Tell him to come to me." And then, miraculously, the crowd kind of changed their tune a little bit. And they said, go, he's calling you. I'm sure they were shocked. They couldn't believe it. And so Bartimaeus doesn't just get up. He leaps up, the text says, and he throws his coat away. His most prized possession he throws on the ground. And he comes to Jesus. All the past years of frustration, all his lack, thrown off like a garment. All the ridicule behind him now, his primary focus is in the hope of Christ. He saw with spiritual eyes, though he couldn't see with physical eyes. And he saw in ways that the disciples couldn't always see. And he had the courage to be open, to be vulnerable, to throw off everything that he has known. And Jesus says to him, and he says to us, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus says, "My teacher, my Lord, my master, please give me sight." And Jesus says, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately, his sight is restored. But he doesn't go anywhere. He says, I'm following this guy on the way. on the way. Bartimaeus was willing to shed his coat, anything that held him back, his degree of comfort. He was willing to go out of his way, out of what gave him that comfort. With what do we clothe ourselves that might prevent us from seeing Christ? What do we wrap around us like a cloak that shields us from the truth sometimes, maybe without even realizing that we're doing it? And it can come in a variety of ways. Our insecurities, our fear of telling the truth in difficult situations, obsession about a loved one, maybe, our wealth or possessions that might rule our decisions, even our education that we can get puffed up about, or lack of it, fame, pride, political persuasion, not that any of us would ever get caught up in that, being right above being joyful in Christ, status, popularity, spiritual superiority, religious righteousness. We all wrap a cloak around us once in a while and sometimes have a hard time letting it go. And Bartimaeus is saying to us, it's time to shed the cloak. It's time to focus on who Christ is, and you too will see. It can even mean admitting a past hurt or a truth that needs to be told. I have an amazing blind Bartimaeus story that I'd like to share with you. And it happened actually a couple of decades ago now. And I was referred, a person that came that wanted to talk to me, referred to me, who was a little girl. She was probably about 9 years old. And to protect her anonymity, I'll call her Susan. And she had had trouble seeing. A teacher referred her to me, as a matter of fact. She could see peripherally, but she couldn't see straight ahead. And so this little girl, was very precocious. She had a contagious personality, at least to the adults around her, but she was frequently the source of ridicule, of teasing, of ostracizing, because she was so smart and so precocious. She was the child of a single mother who was trying to raise her most diligently, but had to work all the time. So she was alone a lot. I had friends that actually lived in her neighborhood, and they would see her, and everybody knew her. And they would see her, and they all cared for her. But she was now really troubled because she couldn't see, and she was a really good student. And her teacher would actually have to read her test to her so that she could answer orally. And thought maybe it would be helpful for her to talk to somebody about this hard time in her life. And so we had a time together. And then right at the end of the second session together, she confided in me that her mother's boyfriend had been sexually abusing her. And it had been going on for some time. I told her that by law, I had to call Child Protective Services that day, and that I also offered to call her mother first, and that she and I would tell her mother together. And she, being the brave little girl that she was, did not balk at that, and that's exactly what we did that day. After deep investigation, and many of us giving depositions, he was arrested and put into prison. And during the time of the depositions, guess what happened? Susan regained her sight 100%. She'd been taken to all the doctors, and they couldn't find what was wrong with her physically. She regained her sight. She could see now the road ahead of her. She could see. I remember in one of the depositions, one of the lawyers saying to me, "Did you tell her that this caused her to lose her sight and that she now could see because she had told the truth?" And I said, no, what I said to her was, isn't it amazing that you couldn't see before you told the truth and now you can see? Isn't that something? And then I just looked at him. She could see. I share this dramatic story because that's how it was with Bartimaeus, seeing deep truth. Seeing deep truth. I don't know if Susan sees Christ now in her life. I've kind of lost touch with her. I hope so. But Bartimaeus was willing to risk everything just like that little girl was because he saw the truth. And he, too, was set free. The ultimate truth. He recognized the presence of Christ with him, in his midst. God incarnate. God with flesh on, able to heal anything we bring to him. These words of an anonymous preacher are poignant. They're anonymous because I went online and I saw the quote and then I went somewhere else and I couldn't find it again. So Bartimaeus didn't, and I quote, "Bartimaeus didn't gradually let go of the life he wanted to leave behind, no. He threw that sucker aside and ran to refuge. Jesus shouldn't need to pry our cloaks from our hands when we really understand who he is and what he alone is capable of. Nothing should hold us back. That place on the side of the road where we've been sitting might be familiar and it might be comfortable, but there's a whole world waiting down the road where Jesus leads. What's holding you back? What's the cloak in your life? And how many times are you going to let that dang thing get tangled in your feet before you finally toss it aside and run toward beautiful, colorful, hope-giving life?" End quote. God is always present, and the realization of Christ with us transforms us too. And we do it over and over and over again. We fall back and we come back. And we fall back and we repent. We turn around and come back and follow the way. I will wear this coat one day. I'm not sure where, but I'll wear it. And because I bought it right around this time, I'm hoping that it will always remind me of the faith of Bartimaeus, that I too might strive to live that way. Amen.